Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most important and genuinely fascinating topics in your EdExcel GCSE Religious Studies course, Human Rights and Freedom. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Rights? I know what rights are. But here's the thing. In the exam, knowing what rights are is only the beginning. What EdExcel really wants to see is that you can connect secular law to religious theology, evaluate tensions between freedom and responsibility, and use specific sources of wisdom and authority to back up your arguments. By the end of this episode, you'll know exactly how to do all of that. We'll cover the key concepts, the key people, the exam technique, and I'll even quiz you at the end. So grab a pen, because this is your revision session in audio form. Let's go. Let's start with the foundations. Human rights, in the context of this topic, are not just general ideas about being kind to people. Examiners are very specific about this. You need to reference two key documents: the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, known as the UDHR, adopted by the United Nations in 1948, and the Human Rights Act of 1998, which brought those rights into UK law. The UDHR was created in the aftermath of World War II, when the world had just witnessed the Holocaust and the horrors of totalitarian regimes. The international community came together and said, "Never again." It contains 30 articles covering rights like the right to life, freedom from torture, freedom of expression, and freedom of religion. These are the rights you need to know. Now, here's a distinction that gets candidates a lot of marks, or loses them marks if they miss it. Rights are not all equal in legal terms. There are three categories. First, absolute rights. These can never be restricted under any circumstances. The prohibition of torture under Article 3 is the classic example. No government, no emergency, no argument justifies torture. Second, qualified rights. These can be restricted in specific, justified circumstances. Freedom of expression under Article 10 is a qualified right. You have the right to speak freely, but not to incite violence or use hate speech. This is a really common exam trap. Candidates write that freedom of speech means you can say anything. It does not. Third, derogable rights. These can be suspended in times of national emergency, like the right to liberty. So remember, absolute, qualified, derogable. A great mnemonic for this is AQD. Always question decisions. Absolute rights are always protected. Qualified rights require you to question the context. And derogable rights depend on decisions made in emergencies. Now let's bring in the religious perspective, because this is where religious studies really distinguishes itself from a law or citizenship class. Both Christianity and Islam ground human rights in theology, in the nature of God and humanity's relationship with God. In Christianity, the foundational concept is Imago Dei. This comes from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, which says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Imago Dei means image of God in Latin. The theological argument is straightforward but powerful. If every human being is made in the image of God, then every human being has inherent dignity and worth that cannot be taken away. This is the theological basis for human rights in Christian thought. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 takes this further. "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." This verse is incredibly useful in the exam because it applies to almost every human rights question: equality, prejudice, discrimination, freedom. Memorize it. In Islam, the concept of Ummah, the worldwide community of Muslims, creates a sense of shared responsibility for one another's welfare. The Quran in Surah 49, verse 13 states, "O mankind, indeed, we have created you from male and female and made you peoples and tribes that you may know one another." This emphasizes diversity as God's design, not a problem to be solved. The concept of khalifa, stewardship, also means Muslims have a duty to protect and uphold justice on earth. The Golden Rule appears across both traditions and is worth memorizing as a flexible source. In Christianity, "Do to others what you would have them do to you," Matthew 7, verse 12. In Islam, the Prophet Muhammad said, "None of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself." These are powerful, transferable quotes. Now let's talk about the key individuals, because examiners want you to link people to theological motivations, not just tell their stories. Oscar Romero was the Archbishop of El Salvador, assassinated in 1980 while celebrating Mass. He spoke out against the military government's human rights abuses, including torture, disappearances, and the murder of the poor. His motivation was agape, unconditional, self-sacrificial love, and the Catholic concept of the preferential option for the poor, which argues that God has a special concern for those who suffer. Romero didn't just oppose injustice because it was wrong in a general sense. He opposed it because he believed every victim bore the image of God. That theological link is what gets you into the top mark band. Martin Luther King Jr. was a Baptist minister who led the American Civil Rights Movement in the 1950s and 1960s. His theological motivation was imago Dei and agape. He believed that segregation was a sin because it denied the God-given dignity of Black Americans. His letter from Birmingham Jail in 1963 is a masterclass in theological argument. He wrote that an unjust law is a code that a numerical or power majority group compels a minority group to obey, but does not make binding on itself. He was assassinated in 1968. Desmond Tutu was the Anglican Archbishop of South Africa who opposed apartheid. His key concept was Ubuntu, an African philosophical idea meaning I am because we are. He argued that when one person's rights are violated, all of humanity is diminished. He was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1984. Malala Yousafzai is a Muslim activist from Pakistan born in 1997 who was shot by the Taliban in 2012 for advocating girls' education. She survived and continued her work, founding the Malala Fund. Her motivation is rooted in the Islamic concept of ilm, the pursuit of knowledge as a religious duty. She has said, "One child, one teacher, one book, one pen can change the world." Right, let's get into exam technique because knowing the content is only half the battle. For question types on this paper, the C question is worth 5 marks and asks you to explain a belief or teaching. The formula here is point, explain, source, and the source must be explicitly linked to your point, not just tacked on at the end. If you write a brilliant explanation, but your source just sits there at the end with no connection, you will be capped at 4 out of 5 marks. That is a very common mistake. The D question is the 12-mark evaluation question. This is where assessment objective 2, your ability to evaluate, is tested. You must present arguments on both sides, and crucially, you must reach a justified conclusion. Top-tier marks require you to use evaluative language. The strongest argument is, this is more convincing than, because, on balance, I would argue. If you just describe both sides without weighing them, you will be stuck at level 2, which is a maximum of 6 marks. Allocate 15 minutes for the 12-mark question. That's roughly 1 minute per mark plus planning time. Do not spend 20 minutes on it and rush everything else. Common mistakes to avoid. Number 1. Confusing human rights with general kindness. Always reference the UDHR or the Human Rights Act specifically. Number 2. Misunderstanding freedom of speech. It is a qualified right, not an absolute one. Hate speech and incitement to violence are not protected. Number 3. Telling the story of Oscar Romero or Martin Luther King without connecting their actions to their theological motivation. The examiner wants to know why their faith drove them, not just what they did. Okay, quiz time. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What does imago Dei mean, and which Bible verse contains it? Genesis 1, verse 27. Created in the image of God. Question 2. What is the difference between an absolute right and a qualified right? Absolute rights can never be restricted, like freedom from torture. Qualified rights can be restricted in specific circumstances, like freedom of expression. Question 3. What theological concept motivated Oscar Romero's human rights work? Agape, unconditional love, and the preferential option for the poor. Question 4. What does the Ummah refer to in Islam? The worldwide community of Muslims with shared responsibility for one another's welfare. Question 5. Name the 2 key legal documents you must reference in this topic. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights, 1948, and the Human Rights Act, 1998. Brilliant work for staying with me through this episode. Let's do a lightning summary. Human rights are grounded in both secular law, the UDHR, 1948, and the Human Rights Act, 1998, and religious theology, imago Dei, Galatians 3, verse 28, and the concept of Ummah. Rights are categorized as absolute, qualified, or derogable. Key figures like Romero, King, Tutu, and Malala all acted from explicit theological motivations, not just general morality. In the exam, always link sources explicitly, always evaluate both sides in D questions, and always reach a justified conclusion. You've got this. keep revising, keep connecting the dots between secular and religious perspectives, and remember, the Examiner rewards precision, not just enthusiasm. Good luck. I'm rooting for you. See you in the next episode.